Hello everyone, Shannon Garcia getting you ready for our week 8 X interviews. That is from episodes 22 and 23, and then the finale, episode 24, will happen next Sunday. So I spoke to Wei, that was a really fun exit interview, and then in 20 minutes I spoke to Kara, and that again gave so many insights. So hope you check both of them out. I will also be recapping these two episodes, week 8 with Jackie Glazier, before we get to finale week next week. A lot going on. I feel pretty confident now in saying this is the penultimate week. Next week is finale week, but I mean, don't count your chickens. So that is what's happening right now. Hope you enjoy both exits, and I will see you on the other side.
Australian survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
Million rubli.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, Wei. I'm so sorry to see you go.
Thank you so much, Anna. I'm really excited to chat with you. I feel like I've been watching you and like listening to your hot takes probably even more than you've been watching me and like everything on the season. So I'm so excited to chat to you and see what you think about, what's going on and happening.
Yeah, I've had this experience a few times where it's like, I watch you, you watch me. This is the first time we meet, but we know each other kind of.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of all come full circle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have so many questions for you. And of course, I have to bring up George first, probably, which maybe might be a little bit irritating, but it was such a, you know, cyclical relationship that you had. And right from the very beginning, it seemed like it was you too. He saves you in that first tribal council. Can you talk us through how that came together right off the bat and the feeling of being saved, which ended up being kind of a complicated thing?
Yeah, definitely. It was a really, really interesting and unusual experience. I wasn't expecting that that would be how I started my survivor journey. Definitely, yes, it's no secret that I would have gone home if George hadn't played his advantage and saved me, and everyone else is there as well. But certainly, because I knew from day one that I was on the chopping block, it really changed my perspective of how I approached the game. And yeah, George and I had a really tumultuous, a unique relationship. I think our journeys are so incredibly tied to each other. Mm. We worked together a lot in the beginning. And I think early on, while I was working with George, after he saved me, and I was kind of entertaining him a lot and kind of listening to his strategy. And seriously, the strategy in his mind is incredible. And even just working with him for like those early few days, I could tell he was living, breathing, and knew everything about the game. And it was absolutely incredible to watch it unfold and see his mind work. So yeah, so that was really intriguing for me. But I think at some point I felt that I was feeling a little bit not entirely like this was the way I wanted to play. I saw an opportunity. You all know I flipped and I joined the majority alliance to kind of give them that power to split the vote, because I knew that when I was trading, I was basically giving them that number.
Yeah.
And then through that, I could like kind of work. I worked along. Basically, after that, we had swap. And once swap happened, George and I diverged. But I think we always kind of knew that we would come back together if we were both still in the game. And I think one sort of merge happened, and then we were getting down to, he was doing his little double agent thing. And when we got to original brains against, and Haley and I made that jump, we knew we were going to be working together again. And I think we worked together well in that space. I'm certainly thinking that those last few days of, after that Emmett vote, how it all came together and working with George felt familiar again, but we'd also both grown a lot through that time. So it was like familiar to work with him. I knew how his brain worked. And also, we had the addition of having Kara and Haley being really, really strong allies as well. So yeah, so it was kind of like we drifted apart, came back together and kind of knew how we were all going to approach things. But of course, he was the one who got me out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so interested in the other relationships that you had, especially on Brains, when a lot of the story was tied up in George, because as you said, you do flip away from him. What were those main other relationships that you felt you were flipping to in that moment?
Yeah, definitely. So early on, it did feel like playing with George was playing from the bottom. And I knew I was going to be playing from the bottom, obviously, because I was the first one that I knew was on the chopping block. I was playing from the bottom so much in those early days. What I saw as an opportunity there was to kind of position myself into a lower middle, which just affected how I was approaching the game slightly differently. When you're playing from the bottom, especially for a player, like I knew I'm quite a, you know, I step back, I kind of watch everyone and kind of make strategic decisions, but I'm not someone who's like going to be out there like kind of dictating, hey, this is what we have to do. Look over there. I wish I could, but I'm a pretty shy, introverted person. And, you know, so that I knew that that wasn't going to be the type of move that I could make from the bottom. So I felt if I positioned myself, even if it was a lower middle, I would feel more comfortable with how I was playing and be able to sort of see the moves and be a little bit more secure in where things were going. Because I think for me, when the Mitch vote happened and I had no idea that was happening, I knew I was not only in danger because I was in the bottom, but I wasn't getting enough information. I was blindsided by that vote. So it felt like I need to get into a spot where I can at least see what's going on. And that would help me play my best game myself.
For sure. I mean, someone that you've mentioned that you work with so closely a lot throughout the post-merge and even for something like that Joey vote early on was Haley. The Whaley pair, iconic name. And that really took a journey as well. So can you talk through how that relationship began and how you guys really did work together so well through every phase of the game?
Yeah, definitely. Haley and I were working together pretty much since that Joey vote. And when swap happened and we found ourselves, I was so grateful and so like really happy to see that she was on the Braun side in Braun 2.0 with me. And early on, we kind of recognized that we kind of thought very similarly and how our brains worked. Essentially, we joked a few times that we shared the same brain. Like we play silly games and stuff like that as a tribe and, you know, come up with silly things. And often Haley and I made the same guesses for those like little brain games and had the same word association. So we're like, oh, actually we think really similarly. We're very different people personality wise, but I think how we approach just problems was quite similar. So we felt that it was really easy to work together. So through that time from Braun 2.0, we made a lot of similar decisions in very different ways. And we were definitely coming, like going apart, having our own conversations, coming back together and like, this is the story. This is what we do, right? So I think that relationship really, really helped, certainly helped my game. I don't think I would have gotten as far without her. And I think in various points, I'd like to think that I helped her game as well. Certainly, you know, after Redemption Rock and everything, I was grateful that she came back and also was able to work with her, I think, from that point on to make more additional moves together as a pair rather than just, kind of more muddled in that alliance.
Was it that relationship that really caused you to go and vote for Joey, or was it, again, wanting to be part of the middle, or what was, like, the main instigating factors there?
Yeah, specifically, I think for the Joey vote, I think Haley was being really bold. Haley led that vote and she was determined to make a big move from the middle. And I thought that was a really bold thing to do. And I felt that, I recognized the value in it. I was like, yeah, you know, let's take him out now. Now's the time to do it. Also Rachel, who we were playing with at that time as well. She was fantastic. And I think all three of us were just really excited with this idea, knowing strategically it made a lot of sense. It was going to be completely a really good blindside that he would completely not see coming. So we were excited by it as just like, you know, enthusiastic game players. And I just really admired her. I was like, wow, I love how her mind works and I want to work with her more.
I love that. I wish we could have seen that trio more. We got a bit of you and Rachel in the secret scenes, but there was clearly some really cool stuff happening with the three of you strong women. So I love that. But another relationship we saw was Andrew. You obviously voted him out last week. We see you crying about it. I'd love to hear about that relationship and specifically how it ended. I felt that the edit was really contradictory around whether you felt manipulated by George or whether you kind of believed that lie or really you were taking your own agency and taking him out for your own gains.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you brought this particular vote up because I think, yeah, this one was really tough and really, I do agree that it didn't quite unfold. I understand why it came together in the show on that episode that way. But yeah, Andrew and I had a really, really strong relationship. Our relationship actually started before, a little bit before the show. Like, we come in the dune buggy together. So
right.
That's like,
yeah, that's
the kind of before day one.
He's
my driver in the dune buggy.
Yes.
So our journey starts from the dune buggy, even before we meet the rest of the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the most time with him, pretty much. We were completely not separated because, of course, Haley went to Redemption Rock, but Jaden got voted out. So Andrew and I had spent the most time together up until basically that vote. Look, it was a little bit hard for me. And emotionally, I think I was speaking my truth when I said, hey, you know, I feel really protective of Andrew. We've been together for a really long time. But strategically, I didn't see any space for him in this new alliance that we had. I knew that when Haley and I went over and voted against Emmett, we were trying to form a very solid four. And we knew the strength at that move at that time where we were going to have a 4-3. And while I personally wanted to protect Andrew and it would have been nice to keep him, I knew strategically the rest of the alliance wanted him gone and he would have to go. And it was going to jeopardize my own game and my own position by trying to convince. There was just no space for him there. It was a 4-3 and it was a strong four. He was a strong challenge threat, you know, and we kind of were just, Emmett was the biggest challenge threat. We had to get rid of him. Logically, even though it hurt my little heart, I knew that he had to be the next person to go. So yeah, so it was like a tough call in that emotionally, my little heart was crying and I was like, no, Andrew, I love you so much. But I think even he recognized that it wasn't a personal, and at that stage, we realize, you know, you can't have the personal relationships aren't, they matter to help you carry you through, but you do kind of have to sever them at this point because you're down to the pointy end. There's only seven people. You're going to start voting out people you like. And that has to be the nature of it because you don't want to be sitting with them at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you had to make those decisions so often. Like, we see the Emmett vote, you and Haley are the swings, Andrew vote, you're the swing, and then it goes to the first, you know, Flick vote, and then it goes to Danny, and you're the swings at every single time. So I'm curious about if you were ever really considering going in another way, because we do see you as the swing, because it's always George who seems to be in trouble that you're saving. There's so much going on there. At what point did you feel like you were definitely set on your plan, or were you ever kind of tempted to the other side?
I think once Haley and I were the four, I think we would always consider the opposite because of course we have to, you have to play out the permutations and you have to think about what it was. But I think we were pretty determined that it made the most sense to just get rid of that alliance and that brawn. While Andrew was the first to go, like Danny and Flick had too many friends in the jury. We looked at them and we realized we stood no chance against them. There were so many brawn on the jury. So it made a lot of sense. We definitely always weighed up the options. And look, sometimes it was pretty tempting because it is George you're talking about. You go, we could just vote him out. But I think strategically, we just didn't see, we felt that we would all have a better chance in the final tribal against going against each other and having it being an all brain final, I think was where we ultimately felt we were in the best position because there wasn't any way we could really make those other permutations work. Every time, everyone who went up against Danny were like, you know, she's a challenge beast, everything. We just kind of went, it's not going to go well where our games aren't strong or she would be too much of a threat. The same with Flick. She was so loved and had such a great story and was so well respected. And we're like, nope, if any of us go up against her, we're going to lose. So that really came down to, we flirted with the ideas, but I think we definitely kind of knew that these were the strategic decisions we had to make. And Haley and I were pretty on the same page with that through each vote.
Yeah, I totally get that. Unfortunately, you know, the last time that you can take out a brawn, it doesn't go as well. But the time before that, you won immunity and it's something that you seemed really emotional about, that it kind of gave you a sense of deserving to be there, which, you know, I would take umbrage with. I felt like you got there, you know, you deserved it. And the jury seemed to be like really taken by your whole story. So I feel like you had it anyway. But can you talk through that moment of winning immunity? I know a lot of people have said it was like a highlight of the season.
Oh, it was definitely the highlight of my experience there. I never expected it to happen. And I've been having a few like little wins, like as the days kept going on, I was like, hey, you know, I've really pushed myself here. I've done a lot of stuff that I never thought I would. You know, the fact that I tackled that hill, like, and finished that challenge, even though I was like, you know, dead last, and I was like, I'm just going to finish. I don't care if I'm here all day. So I felt like I'd already tackled so many big big challenges and big hurdles. But man, winning that immunity was something so incredibly special. I just never went into the game thinking I would have a chance, especially with people like Emmett and Andrew and, you know, Haley especially, just kind of always being there. So to come from so far behind, and I was really, really far behind. I could barely lift that hammer and everything. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get there. And to come from so far behind, get to the puzzle. And look, it wasn't as easy. There's a little bit of TV magic there. It wasn't like, oh, I knew it straight away. But, you know, there was some struggling and some thinking and stuff like that. But to be able to crack it on something that was my strength, because we all know I have so many weaknesses, to crack it on a strength is really, really important and really, really amazing. And it did make me feel like, yes, okay, you know, I finally got a win. I deserve to be here. And I know that, you know, I've been playing hard and doing well, but it really solidified the experience for me. I can't tell you how much confidence it gave me and just really made the whole thing worth it. I'm so, so like looking back on that, I'm like, yep, that was the high. That was good. And, you know, maybe made yesterday bittersweet more. I think I would have been a little bit more like, you know, sour about the whole experience if I never won. But the fact that I've won immediately, I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, I was a backup vote. I'm okay with that now.
It's all about the puzzles, Wei. Like, that's the best skill to have, I personally think. I think that's great. You know, the puzzle's a great equalizer and you were the puzzle queen. It was well deserved. And I know there's been a lot of talk about George helping you in the challenge. What's your perspective on that? I know you were talking a bit about kind of meanness in the game and outside of it and where George has sat on the line. Did you see it as having an agenda, or you really did take it for the beautiful moment that at least I took it as?
I took it as a beautiful moment. I do think that George was very genuine in that approach of why he, you know, he came, he saw, he was like, look, it's 30 seconds out of my time and just to help her so at least she has a chance. And look, I'm really grateful because through the entire time in this game, people have helped me. You know, I think when Simon came to talk to you, he mentioned that he landed a sandbag for me. And that was like one of those accidental, oh, well, if he landed on someone else's thing, it's fine. And he did. And, you know, at least he wasn't sour about it. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. I helped Wei. So it was nice that people did help me. There were a lot of those challenges where we had to help each other and sacrifice our own game. So there was a lot of, I felt the season did really try and boast teamwork and kind of call on the importance of teamwork. So it was really nice that George kind of embraced that, that theme and came to my rescue. I'm not surprised that he then like put my name up and everything. I think so much of this game is about, it's exactly like the Andrew vote where I felt you have your emotional moments and you have those moments where you're a real human being, but then the strategy has to come into play and you kind of have to make the best move. And it doesn't matter that your little heart is crying or, you know, you are doing whatever, it's the best move. And I think that it made it a little easier for him to kind of say and put my name out there because he had helped me. I will say it colored how I approached the vote where I was a little bit more hesitant. I think I would have tried to push harder to be like, yeah, you know, now is the time to get George out. Versus I'm like, oh, we can probably wait another vote. I don't think she has an idol. Like, you know, because we had to get rid of him at some point. But I would have been like, oh, yeah. And I think it was because he had just helped me that colored how I approached that vote for me personally. Like, I was like, yeah, we can probably wait another vote. It's okay.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, going down to the four with another pair is a tricky situation. What were your plans at that point? If you got to that point, who were you looking to sit next to? What did you see as your pathway to the victory?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's a little bit of an interesting one because, like, I think with the four, yes, it would have been really hard. And obviously, George and Carr are really strong and Haley and I were pretty strong. I felt that we could probably break George and Carr. Haley and I discussed it a little bit that we would have probably, if it was going to be the two of us, it would have been great to have like a final three challenge with all the girls. So we probably would have targeted George next because he was the most strongest strategic threat and stood a good chance of winning that challenge. So we probably would have tried to break up George and Carr. I think where I was thinking was if I felt George and Carr were probably more, if we could get rid of Flick, who was the big challenge threat, George and Carr were more likely to, well, basically all three of us would kind of rely on Haley a little bit to, if we can't like in that final challenge, you kind of know that she's the biggest threat. They probably would have targeted her, but we, yeah. But on the other hand, they might have actually worked. I think we could have convinced Kara to work with us in some way. But then, you know, what does the final two look like if Haley is the challenge beast and standing there at the end? So it still comes down to who wins the next immunity. I mean, I won an immunity. That's awesome. That could happen to anything. Yes. That changes the game as well. So there's, yeah, there's a lot of permutations that happen there. But I think I was kind of going, I want to stick with Haley. I didn't want to make a move without her. And I was going to go, yep, the next thing we'll see. But let's do an all-girls thing because, yeah, the girls. It's been a theme this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it was a tricky path, but the jury were loving what you were doing. So I would have loved to see it pan out that you could have given your story to the jury. You are a writer. You could have delivered your own story to the jury. It would have been really poetic, but I'm sorry it didn't work out that way. I really loved watching you. I wish we could have seen even more from your story. But thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, Wei.
Oh, thank you so much, Shannon. You are an absolute dynamite. I love listening to you and hearing your little analysis every week. And yeah, and on both podcasts, you've done such an amazing job. I don't know when you sleep. I've been wondering this.
It's been tough. It's fine. Even when I sleep, I dream about Survivor. So it's just all kind of part of my life. That's it.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my God. Well, love the dedication. So amazing. So,
thank you so much, Wei. So nice to talk to you. Bye.
Likewise, Shannon. See ya.
Kara, welcome to RHAP. Thank you for coming onto the podcast. I'm so sorry to see you go last night, but what an epic way to go home, at least, if that's any small consolation, that it was this shocking 2-1-1 vote.
Exactly. It's really actually nice to be on here too, just so you know. I'm a bit of a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for saying that. Well, the feeling is mutual. I mean, we watched this epic partnership through the whole season, you and George just dominating at every turn, and I hear about how that relationship started. We saw a bit of it, but where did the bond really form with George from the beginning?
The very beginning was actually that first tribal when I was sitting there and I'm looking at him and he's making his big speech and I'm thinking, I can't tell if he's piss-taking or not, frankly. But as I'm looking, I'm like, he is actually just hamming it up to the audience. And that's when I realized, again, I could see his little foibles. And my whole plan going forward always was to align myself with one person and just keep that loyalty and stick through and snowplow through. That was my plan. I was never going to be the champion. I'm like a 47, almost 48-year-old woman. So that was my plan. And that's when the George alliance started.
Yeah, I mean, so much of the focus was on George. I'd love to know, like, what were your other relationships in that early Braun alliance? We did see that you guys were kind of on the outs with the numbers, but did you have any other key bonds?
Yeah, so Mitch and I were really, really close, but he got really emotional about George. He just wanted to vote out George and put George's name down on principle, and I was like, cool, he's Jeff. I was always, like George, frankly, the three people I mostly aligned myself with, I kept trying to cool their jets. So Baden, he got hot-headed, and I'm like, cool. Mitch, and of course, George. So Baden and I were really, really close and really tight. He's a truth speaker as well, and I wanted someone to, again, be able to align myself with. And I was actually the one that brought George into kind of the Baden thing. I couldn't bring Mitch in. Haley in the middle there, and I wasn't sure where she sat. And so, frankly, it was kind of Baden and I from the start, and then we brought George in.
And in such a big moment where you self-sacrifice for George, and in your jury villa, you say, like, you know exactly what you were doing in that. Like, obviously, such a amazing thing to do, such a human moment. What were you anticipating? Were you really thinking, like, this is it, I'm going home for George? And how did you come to that decision?
So human beings are human beings, and when you go into such an environment, my goal was to always be myself, warts and all. And I don't believe people can maintain a facade for so long because you're stripped of everything. It becomes a real, you know, everything comes out, you know, all your bad parts and your good parts. So it was actually really toxic in that environment. And I'm such a fan, but I'm not going to be and enjoy have all carnage behind me, and just what is the point of that? And the reality is, George, you know what, George, I just feel for George. He's a massive underdog. You know, I wanted to make a stand for him. And my life is set in so many ways. Like, I'm happily married. I've got wonderful kids, you know, got my own real estate business. I deal with amazing clients. I was never in it for the prize money or title, although that may make you vomit in your mouth a bit. I would love to get as far as I can because I'm super competitive. But I wanted to enjoy the journey as well. And I love the gameplay. I love the relationships. I really want to do the challenges. Even though I just had a major operation in December, I was a bit unfit. But, you know, that's kind of a very short version of the whole part of why I did that. And, you know, I wanted to look after him because, you know, I don't know, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. It was such an iconic moment. You became Macedonian Jesus. You saved him and then came back from the dead onto Braun. And you were seen as a Braun. Like, you were considered Braun through the merge. They're describing you as Braun. And those relationships seemed really key to me. So who were you really bonding with when you swapped over to Braun and then obviously at the actual swap when you were with that group, Kez, Emmett, Gerald and Danny?
So I love smart. My husband's like a lawyer. He's uber smart. We deal with in the eastern suburbs like crazy smart. So Gerald, I really connected with, and Emmett, frankly. Emmett's a very interesting, smart guy. He gets a bit overwhelmed, I think, by the noise of people. He likes to go a bit solo. I love Shannon. Shannon was also uber smart and really always thinking ahead. And I was just building up, frankly, alliances and building up a section of people, knowing that I also had George and Baden on the other side. And that was kind of my key.
We have to ask the question, yes, it's going well. Yes, these relationships are going to take you far. But, like, small little glitch, which was the Danny vote, which has been, like, it probably is my favorite moment of the season. Such an iconic moment, as George would say. And I need to know, I needed through your eyes, what happened here in this completely iconic moment?
Well, I'll be brutally frank with you. There were multiple plans going on that day, all based around whether Big D was having a decision made about himself. And we had two plans, plan A and plan B. And I hadn't seen Big D all day, but he was very upset that day. And I was trying to help him. And Gerald and Emmett were also trying to help him. He was very upset, especially when he was not happy in that brain tribe camp at all. A sidebar. I have heard that brain tribe camp is, I've got a bit of bad juju in there for some reason. I meant to investigate that, actually, with the people. Anyway, so Big D was not happy there, and we had two plans based on that. If you actually go back to the footage, you can actually hear Gerald at the end. He's saying, so we're going Laura? And we literally had plan A and plan B. So I arrive at tribal council. I hadn't seen Big D. And I look at Big D, and I'm like, plan A or plan B? And he just went, chill, Cara. I'm like, oh, okay, you boys, when you tell me to chill, I'm not really liking that. But anyway, Emmett, turned to him. I'm like, plan A or plan B? And he's like, just relax, Cara. And I'm thinking, I just really need an answer, guys. I just want some clarification because I don't assume anything. I turn to George and I'm like, mate, is it plan B? And George has given me the big Cheshire Cat smile and he's just literally nodding, politicians nod. And I'm like, okay, plan B. And that was actually it. And do you know what? I had to own it. And like, what else can you do in an edit? And the reality is the proof is in the pudding that Big D was happy to go home. No one resented me for that, you know, vote. Everyone else knew what was going on. And that's actually why I managed to stay in the fold. And that's also why I came clean. It was all strategic.
Right. So when you say there were two plans, the two plans were around what targets you'd have of those former brains women, but Big D had been struggling anyway. So if anyone was going to be the collateral, like, that was the easiest to recover from?
Big D was happy to leave. He wasn't intended to be collateral. The girls obviously voted him out.
Yeah.
But there were two plans based on whether he would be there or not, frankly.
So he was part of a plan that you guys might have voted him out as well?
We were definitely not voting him out. He was part of another plan.
Right.
He wasn't even part of a plan. It was whether he was going to leave or not.
Oh, right, whether he was going to leave. All right, okay. So that makes sense. But the vote was always going on those women. All right, a lot going on there, obviously, was something that we've been trying to untangle
for a long time. Yes, and that is exactly why. that. And you know what? I got a bit of a dumb edit for that, and I'm not the dumb one, but I will take it because I'm the fun one.
I mean, you had a lot of agency throughout the game, so we should talk about that as well. I mean, you go in and you and George are being the double agents at the merge. What was your thought process on that? We get so much of George's takes. Was that something you were really kind of like riding along with him, or it was another thing where you just had to go along with George's crazy schemes?
So George and I used to strategize day in, day out. I've heard some other podcasts with the others getting sick of us strategizing, but we never rested on our laurels. So George had like 100 plans. I had four, and we would dissect them all. And, you know, I'm a chess player. I like to, and George is too, of course. We like to look where the game is playing and have multiple options. So there were definitely some moves in there that I thought George was being a little bit too aggressive in the move, but I supported him and we just didn't say anything to each other because his moves weren't counterintuitive to mine. But he just kept me clean, frankly, and he was a shield for that. So he's bombastic, you know, he loved being that person, and I would just go behind him and smooth out the relationships and bring people in the fold. You know, I was bringing Haley in. I brought Baden in, obviously, originally. I brought Emmett to George. You know, I was the trusted one that people trusted me and my loyalty, that then they trusted me to bring in George.
Right. I mean, the biggest disparity between you that I was really confused about was that at the Gerald vote, George puts that plan together and you don't vote for Gerald. You're not a part of that. And you are left as a brawn, as they say, you are brawn. So did you know about that plan or did George really leave you out of the Gerald vote?
I knew something was going on and I knew it wasn't me. So I knew I was safe in that. That was actually the only one I wasn't completely clear on. But George and I had discussed, he said, well, I'm going this way. And I'm like, I'm not sure that's too soon. But I let him do it because it wasn't affecting me. And frankly, it was a good vote in the end. So I just didn't want to be seen to be on that side overtly. It just would have exposed us for sure.
You do end up getting all the votes in the next time and George saves you. Can I get your thought process on that whole round? Like, do you feel that being left out of that vote possibly alienated you to a degree? Because it's quite a thing from you and George, like ruling the game to then having to defend when you're getting all the votes.
Yeah, so at this point in time, George had found that key.
Yeah.
And I knew he had something afoot. And he again, this is that loyalty and trust and, you know, people are calling us the dynamic duo and we really did have each other's back. And it's really nice in the game to have that because there's so much misinformation, so much, you know, so many people just saying yes, 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 and then going a different way. So I knew he had my back with that, and we had frankly strategized who I was voting for, but he just was keeping his powder dry, I think, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best decision in the end, and it all goes back to relationship, my relationship with him, and no one, you know, everyone underestimated us, so, you know, power to us.
Yeah, you guys really, you know, from beginning to end, we saw obviously the two of you and you turn on him last night. What was your rationale in that? What was your main driving factor to the fracture of this like season long relationship?
So we have always promised each other we would take each other as far as we could go. Ideally, that would have been final two. Now, Blip winning immunity actually just thwarted that plan. And if she hadn't, she would have been out because she was Jury's favourite. And so then we are all strategizing against it. I was pitching to all of them that I was never going to win. I wasn't making the big, massive move. You know, I was in the background and I was actually completely fine with that. I would have been delighted and amazed to be first, but second, I'm also delighted with because Survivor's just a lifelong dream. I'll just have it sit in bloody Jury and just sit there and enjoy it. George and I both knew that we needed Haley to beat Flick in the endurance challenge. And I knew that more of a threat, probably the biggest threat to me, I think because he's played the best game, frankly. So taking out George, I was conflicted where I needed to make that big play and get him out or take Haley along to help me. And I just thought, you know what, I'll just back myself and vote out George, even though it hurt my heart. I thought, I'll just vote out George and back myself in the endurance challenge.
In Jury Villa, you are talking about how, like, you were really kind of weighing up that decision. When did you kind of make that decision? Because obviously if Hayley had known, like, she might have gone with you, but was it all a bit last minute?
It 100%. I actually stood in the voting booth for the longest time ever. I reckon I stood in there for 2 minutes just going, I really don't know what to do. I really don't. It was head versus heart. It was, you know, again, back to my, I was stronger in the game by that point. Obviously, Hayley is the pain management beast. And you know what? All three of them have way better stories than I do, you know, as the gentle guiding mum, you know, pushing everyone along behind the scenes. But that was never my plan. And, you know, it just ended the way it did. So I would have loved to have just made it to final three or two, of course. But Flick's immunity changed that.
There were so many difficult situations for you and George this week, even in the final five, like he's coming to you with that plan and you want to tell Hayley. How did that get over the line? Is there a conversation that you had with Hayley, or you just went along with the plan there to put two votes on Way without telling her?
No, I told Hayley last minute. I wanted to keep her on side.
Right.
And I knew where Hayley sat, and Hayley wanted to progress. And I told George I was going to tell Hayley. He's like, don't. I'm like, but this is a relationship thing. So literally right at the last minute, I told her just before she was voted, so she wouldn't be able to actually say anything to Wei.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, definitely another amazing George and Kara move. You talked about managing George and his relationship with someone like Wei. What do you feel the work you were doing throughout the time? You know, we see it in quick scenes, but it might be more of a full-time job that we didn't get to see. Like, how were you managing that?
Wei and George, as you could see from the very beginning, they were just very opposing forces. Wei is very much an introvert, and George is the complete opposite. Wei was very, very emotional, and she would make a lot of her decisions at tribal council. Tribal council. And, you know, that's really hard to work with when, you know, you've got all these strategies going forward and then you're waiting for someone to make a decision. So I used to be the conduit from George to me to Hayley to Wei, or I just keep pulling them apart. There were times where I would say, Wei would say to me, I don't trust George. He says he'll cook dinner and then he doesn't. So I'd go in the background like a parent and go, George, can you please just go cook dinner, because Wei doesn't trust you because you say you will and then you won't. And this is about building trust. And obviously you can see in that moment where I'm shushing George, it's like the vinegar stroke when you're negotiating a deal and you've got a young agent with you and you say to the proposed purchaser, what will you offer? And the little junior agent next to you actually just goes, oh, you were going to offer $3 million. And you're like, shut up and let the person make this decision, because they may have offered four. It was that kind of moment. Mm-hmm. And the managing way was also about autonomy, and she wanted to be heard, and I was helping her find her voice. Right from the beginning, that very first challenge, struggling to find her voice. And she eventually found it. Mm-hmm. She told George to F off at one point.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yay, Wei, but maybe a bit clumsy. So there are certain personalities that just don't blend together, and that was definitely one of them. I was just managing, like, constantly all the time, just smoothing things over, keeping things open. I wanted to keep all my options open unless I really didn't want to deal with that person. But George and I just took out those people as we motored along.
Well, Kara, if you ever do employ George in your real estate business and you guys are on Lux listings, like, I would watch that. I think that would do really well. Like, maybe it's something that you should consider as you try to manage that.
A lot of people are asking for the George and Kara show. So, I mean, he'd have to shut up a bit.
At least The Amazing Race.
I talk a lot. Yeah. Although my hubby might want to do that. But Amazing Race isn't as strategic, but I'd still be good at that. I love an adventure. But I have to say, survival is just always my one. I did get offered a couple of other bits and bobs along the way, and I was just like, no, I just want, it's survival or nothing for me. I just adore it. And I adore your analysis of it.
Thank you so much. That's so kind to say. And I'm glad that you took this experience, got almost all the way to the end. And I hope it lived up to those expectations. And thank you again for coming on the podcast to give us your insights.
Thank you so much. And to you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed both X interviews. Definitely some really interesting insights that I'm sure we'll talk about on the recap. The fact that Kara had told Haley about the Planet 5 is a really big one. I want to get into all of that. The fact that she made that decision in the voting booth last night about which way she was going to go. This game has really been chaotic, and I was clearly not picking up what she was putting down about Dany, and then you could kind of hear the light bulb go off in my head where it was like, okay, right, he maybe would have quit. I think that's where I've come to it on the re-listen, that he was maybe going to quit, which meant they wouldn't be able to split the vote. So maybe they had another direction for the plan if they didn't know if they had 5 or 6 numbers. That's where I'm at with that like cryptic conversation around the increasingly confusing Dany vote. But hope you guys enjoyed both of these X interviews. You can always subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. Follow me, Ashton and Gates, for all the content. I will be back with the recap with Jackie Glazier as we continue on what I'm pretty sure is the penultimate week. Until then, I will see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
Aldi. Million rubli.
Try the spoon.
Scheibe Tortellini.
Ship.
Try.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.